Welcome to Musa Seder. We started the Shovavim. We're in a period of 6 to 8 weeks of working on ourselves. Klal Yisrael work on ourselves in a way which is a unique way. The reason why the Shovavim are called Shovavim is because it's the Rosh Tevas of the Parshios. Shmos v'yerabo b'sharach Yitro. Mishpatim, and then some add Truma and Tetzave as well, and they call it Shovavim Tat. And the concept behind it is that Mitzrayim was considered the epitome place of Arayus. It was the place where it was the opposite of Kedusha, one could say. Immediately you see that with the story of Yosef and Potiphar, Eshet Potiphar. In fact, Rashi even mentions that Potiphar himself had desire for Yosef as well, and that's why he was Masaris himself. Potiphar, in order not to have desire for Yosef, had to remove his male organ. It's a place where Arias was most prominent, and obviously why Yaakov was scared to go down, and why Yosef promised that they would put them in a separate place in Goshen, so they wouldn't be negatively affected. And in the same way as in these parashios of these few weeks that we're learning, the Jewish people were taken out of Mitzrayim as a nation, so the place of Arias we were freed from and redeemed from. So too, the segula, the kind of spiritual imprint on the world, is poignant during this time of year. And therefore, it's a time of year where there's a specific focus on working on matters of Kedusha. And the spiritual segula of the Jews going out of Egypt that we're going to be learning about in the parashios has an effect spiritually to help also individuals during this time working on their coming out. So Bli Neder for the next 6 to 8 weeks on Sundays during Musa Seder. We'll take a break from Alei Shor, although we will continue Alei Shor the next days, but on the Sundays, in order to give the proper kavod to this topic. And today we're just going to speak about the importance of the topic and being open about the topic and understanding the nature of the topic. And over the next few weeks, we're going to speak about more practical tools, about how to not get into the situation to begin with, about when one finds themselves in a situation which is challenging spiritually, how to hold strong and not fall. And then we're also going to speak about after the fact, if a person has fallen, what perspective they should have on looking back, and give both mindsets and practical tools in how to overcome specifically the Yetzer Hara for Arias, but also the Yetzer Hara in general as a concept. And that's going to be what we're going to speak about. Bez Hashem will also include practical halachas in the matter as well. So that's going to be Sundays for the next few weeks during the period of Shovavim. So I first wanted to address why this topic is not so much spoken about. Although Baruch Hashem in the last few years, I've seen there's a lot more open discussion about it. Rabbi Moshe Weinberger started a chabura called Chabura Yosef HaTzadik, which in length, Baruch Hashem, he's described the topic, and that's made it much more of an open topic. There's a kuntres, I don't remember what it's called, but it's very, very popular, like a little an English one. That, what was it called? You showed it to me. The Battle of Our Generation, which I saw there, like tens of thousands of copies they've printed and given out in order to make this topic a more well-known topic, and an awareness has gone out. It's become, in recent years, very recent years, it's become a much more open topic. But still, in the world of yeshiva and in the world of like Rabbonus, you don't hear about it so much. And it's always been a topic that was somewhat taboo. And I wanted to discuss why and if there's basis for it. So, when I started preparing for this chabura, I spoke to different rabbonim about it. Should I speak about it? Shouldn't I speak about it? And I got varied responses. And I got responses also that said that I shouldn't speak about it. And I looked into why and tried to understand why opinions on both sides, before making a decision to speak about it. But the reasons that I heard why is, number one, that if it doesn't bother somebody, if the topic doesn't bother someone, and then you make an issue out of it, and you start discussing it, and it's a topic, then it becomes more widespread, and it becomes a topic which now exists, and it becomes something which is more acceptable, and that it does happen, and if someone wasn't thinking about it, then now they start thinking about it now. That was one reason that people less speak about it. Which I think it's fair to say that although everyone is challenged on different levels and different places and different areas, I think it's pretty safe to say that it's a topic which does affect everybody. As we're going to see in the Gemara, that it's something which affects everybody and it's widespread. And not just in our generation, it's something which later on in the sources, not today, we're going to see the Rambam who speaks about, the Rambam it says, in the Rambam in Hilchos Kir Arayos, he says that every generation, every era, every community, it's a topic. So I think it's pretty safe to say that it's widespread enough that on some level, in some way, it does affect everyone. The second reason is that I heard was that if you discuss it wrong, then it could do more damage than good. If it's spoken about in a way which just arouses but doesn't solve, then it could be very damaging. And in order to combat that point as well, we've put together a chabura which has a few facets to it. First of all, the point we just made was, I'll just quote it in the name of Elia Lopion, because I think it's a beautiful story. The Rav Elia Lapian once gave a topic in his yeshiva about Shmiras Enayim and Shmiras HaBris. And one of the Talmidim came to him and said, oh Rebbe, you didn't need to talk about that. I don't have that issue. So Rav Elia Lapian asked for his name. So he said, why? He said, I need to daven for you. He said, Rebbe, why? He says, if you don't have this issue, there's a problem. There's something wrong with you. You're not normal. And it sounds like it's funny, but as we're going to go on and see in the Gemara, it's actually not normal. The Gemara speaks about that someone doesn't have this issue as an issue, also doesn't have the ability to procreate. Meaning it wasn't just a joke that Rav Elia Lapian was saying, it's something built in. Meaning what we're learning here from that story is that one of the great challenges of this topic is that it's our very life force. It's very, very much part of who we are. It's not something that you can just say, that's the Yetzer Hara, put it aside. It's part of our makeup, our build, and we need it. So it needs to be channeled in a healthy way for sure. So point number one is we have to do it in a recognize that it applies to everybody. Point number two is all the sources have to come from Torah. And we're going to quote now together a Emek Dava, which is a beautiful piece, which the principle of this piece is one should not be scared about openly talking about this topic, because as long as you're doing it from a place of Divrei Torah, place from quoting Torah sources and explaining Torah sources, then no harm will happen. Rav Weinberg once said a beautiful line. He said, most parents think like this. Im hacharesh tacharishi revach v'atzala yavol liyudim l'makom acher. They say, I don't want to speak about it because I'm scared maybe I'll do it wrong or it's a little bit embarrassing. So I don't want. I'll keep quiet and my children will hear about it from some other place. Revach v'atzala yavol liyudim l'makom acher. But then Rav Weinberg said, yeah, but read the rest of the pasuk. Umi yodea im le'eis kazos higata l'malchut. If you're a melech, and a parent is a melech in his home, and a rebbe is a melech with his talmidim, man malchei rabbonon. If you're a melech, if you were given the ability to teach topic, this topic, you have the obligation to. You can't say, or maybe someone else will talk about it. You have to recognize that, no, do not rely on revach v'atzal yavol liyudim l'makom acher. You have to be the one to give it over. You have to take responsibility, take achrayas, and teach it in a Torah way, in a healthy way, emotionally healthy and Torah orientated, but it has to be spoken with. So let's read on the Emek Davar. This is the Emek Davar in Vayikra Tet Vav. It says like this. The Torah has a language here which is an unusual language. Vayadaber Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon lemor, Daberu el b'nei Yisrael v'amartem aleihem. Amartem aleihem is unusual. Says the Emek Davar. Lo matzinu b'chol parashot shebetorah haloshon, this plural language of v'amartem aleihem. Why does it say it in plural? You don't find that anywhere else. Usually it just says dabru el b'nei Yisrael lemor. Speak to the people saying, not and you will say to them in plural. What is that extra language? So he says, it was coming to teach that also Aaron had to teach it. Now why is there a chiddush here that also Aaron has to teach it? Because regular halacha and regular mishnah, that's obvious that it has to be taught from Aaron to Am Yisrael, just like all areas of the Torah, just like every rav as a teacher's talmidim. There was no chiddush over there. However, this topic, this is talking about the topic of ziva, seminal emissions, is kasher ledaber b'inyanei ziva v'keri shehu be'evarei hazera shemit pa'alim b'machshava. This topic is a sensitive topic because when you talk about it, it could awaken thoughts. V'hayinu sovrim, and one may have thought. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware that we may have thought Shiyoter tov lema'et hadibur v'alimudom. It's better not to learn about it. Don't talk about it, don't learn about it. Keep it taboo, it's better it remains unspoken. V'rak Moshe, okay, Moshe had to teach the Jewish people the halachot, because it's halacha, we have to know what to do if there is a keri or if there is a ziv. So we had to know, because it has to be known. But after Moshe has already taught it and you fulfill the mitzvah Talmud Torah, don't go on and speak about it more. The minimum you need to just to have it said. Shegam Aaron Yomod, and that's why it says Va'amartem Alehem. It's emphasizing Aaron as the teachers as well. to teach, the Aharon is to teach it to the Jewish people, even though Moshe Rabbeinu has already taught it. I'm sure you've learned the Gemara, it speaks about how Moshe taught to everyone, and then Aaron taught to everyone. Had to be taught from Aaron again. Says the Emek Davar in his conclusion, V'hu adin kol rav l'talmidav, every rabbi has to teach it to his talmidim. U'mishum she'be'emet b'limud Torah ein yotzera. Because when you're learning it in a Torah-orientated manner, no harm will come. There's no damage that will be done. So, if there was a concern that it was spoken about in the wrong way, that is a concern. If it's spoken about in the wrong way. But if it's coming through Divrei Torah, if you're always learning it from sources and understanding it from God's perspective, you don't have to be concerned. There's a letter of Rav Hutton I wanted to bring, but unfortunately the Rosh Hashiva's Svarim, which is where I knew Rav Hutton's Sefer was, is a mess right now. So I went to look in the current Rosh Hashiva's office to find it. But I don't know if you've been in there recently, there's piles and piles of Svarim. It's hard to find anything in there. But if you ever get a chance to look it inside, otherwise I'll just quote the content of it. In Rav Hutton wrote a series of books called Pachad Yitzchak. They're on the Moedim. There's one section called Igros U'Michtavim, letters that he wrote. And in there on page Pei, which is letter Mem Tet, he has a letter to someone who's speaking about talking about this topic in public. And the Gemara says that there are certain things that tzniut yafer lehem. It's good to be tzanu about them, not be public about them. And this topic of Arias is a topic which it says about it, it's better to be tzanua. It's better to be modest about it and not speak about it in public. So they wanted to know from Rav Hutna, isn't it inappropriate that a rabbi will speak about it? He didn't quote them their Megdavar, but he quoted them from his own Sfar. And this is what he said. He said, that's true in a time where there isn't a slaughter of images and information against Torah's perspective. Then, there's no anti-Torah view out there which is being permeating the Torah concept. And then it's better not to speak about it in public, and only where it needs to be spoken about, you mention it. There, it's true. The Rav Hutna says, however, we live in a generation where if we don't speak about it from a Torah perspective, it is well going to be known about from a very impure perspective. The boys and girls growing up in our societies are going to hear a lot of topics and see a lot of topics about Arias, and if we don't address it from a Torah perspective, then a Chilul Hashem will take place. It's not appropriate to be tzanua now. It's only appropriate to be tzanua if they have no other perspective, and then when they're about to get married, then you talk about it, because until then, who's even thinking about it? But in our era, where it's very much a topic from a younger age, if you don't present a Torah, Kodesh, Tahor presentation, understanding of what Torah has to say about this matter, then the natural way of perceiving these topics will be inappropriate and impure. And therefore we're obligated to speak about it publicly, to speak about what marriage is, to speak about what love is, to speak about what Kedusha is in a holy and pure manner. It's appropriate to speak about and should be outspoken, Rav Hutna says, in order that our children and our Talmidim will have a healthy perspective. And here I want to take his point a little bit further, because this point is painful. You come to yeshiva and you learn a sugya. And this year, Dafka, we're learning something quite relevant, quite halacha lamaisa. And even then, a lot of the pilpul that goes on isn't something which you're going to come by in your day-to-day life. And certainly when you're learning sugyas, which are Dayanus-oriented sugyas like the Bavas, or Nashim-oriented sugyas, which are much, much less relevant. And nevertheless, the reason why we learn those sugyas is because we're not learning Aliba de Hilchasa. That's not the goal of our learning in yeshiva. The goal is to learn in depth, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of thought, to be in tune with Hashem's way of thinking, which is passed down in Masorah through all the eras. And therefore, it's not so important to us that we get to the Halacha Lemaisa, because our goal isn't Halacha Lemaisa in learning Iyun. So whilst at the same time that's valuable, something else happens which is terrible. Where there's topics which are really, really important, and I would even say are on the minds of people on a daily basis, and they're not addressed. So what happens is, topics which we don't see naturally as relevant to our lives are given a lot of emphasis in yeshiva, and topics which may be bothering us and annoying us and on our minds all the time, and even when we're trying to think of other things and these thoughts come back, and that topic isn't addressed. And the Chilul Hashem that takes place there is that it looks like Torah is not relevant. Because the topics that aren't relevant are spoken about a lot in yeshiva. And this topic, which is on the mind the whole time, is taboo, and it's intimate, and it's personal, and it's off the record. And that creates a big chilul Torah. Because it makes it look as if Torah doesn't have what to say about this matter. And in the topic that I'm not interested in, the Torah has lots to talk about. And the topic that I'm most interested in, the Torah is not talking about. So where am I going to go for an answer? Not the Torah. Some unhealthy place. Some impure place. And that's the furthest from the truth. Because when you come to understand this topic from Hashem's perspective, and you have a deep insight as to why Hashem made this Yetzer, why He created it, and how you can channel it for good, and what tools Hashem gave to overcome it, and why Hashem made bad in the world, and what the purpose of bad is, and what our role is in overcoming the bad, and you understand that it's a design, it's Hashem's design, and it's part of Hashem's plan, and it was all made from the beginning with this in mind, then it's not a chilul Hashem, but you recognize the mission you're up against. And just like a warrior who's given training and is sent to war, and he recognizes, I've been given the training and I've been waiting for this opportunity to prove myself in battle, he's happy to go out to battle. He's happy. Maybe you would say he would be happy if there wasn't a war. But once it was determined that there has to be a war, and you understand why it's necessary and important there has to be a war, and he has the training, you understand that's the mission, he's happy to be able to use the kohot that he was given to go out to war. So it's a big chilul of Torah when the Torah seems not relevant, and the answers aren't found there. And that's just re-emphasizing what Rav Huttner was saying, why it's crucial to talk about it. What, in other words, what the Emek Davar was saying was, you don't have to worry that you'll be harmed by it as long as you're saying it from a place of Torah. But it doesn't mean you're obligated to go and like emphasize it, right? What Rav Huttner was saying is, we are obligated to be outspoken about it. Because if we don't speak about this topic from a Torah content, then there will be a misconstrued view of the whole topic of Arayas and Shmiras Abris and Shmiras Machshava. That whole topic will be taken from an unhealthy perspective, as if Torah doesn't have what to say about it. Okay. So I wanted to learn the two sources together. The Gemara in Yom and the Gemara in Makkos. I'm not going to read the whole thing because of time, but I'll just read the main part, or maybe I'll just say it in my own words. And the goal of this, what we're reading now, is showing that the topic of Arayas is something which is in its base, in its core, healthy, natural. It may be taken to an unhealthy place, that's for sure. And when it's taken to an unhealthy place, then it could be a big avera, for sure. And we have to learn the tools of how to overcome that. But it's unhealthy to view this whole topic as bad and throw out the core natural essence because of the inappropriate application. So let's learn the Gemara. The Gemara here is in Yoma Daf Samach Tet, and it's speaking about the time when the Jewish people came back in Bayis Sheni, and they were aware that the whole reason Bayis Rishon was destroyed was because of the Avodah Zorah was so overwhelming. The Yetzirah of Avodah Zorah was so overwhelming they couldn't take it, and they said, we have to do something about it. And the Chachamim got together, and that generation included Nevi'im, Mishael, Azariah, Hananiah, Daniel, Mordechai. The last three Nevi'im who existed, they were all there. And they got together and they said, we're going to destroy the Yetzirah for Avodah Zorah. And they destroyed it and they were successful. And the whole Gemara describes exactly how they destroyed it and what happened in that. And the Gemara goes on and says, Amru, ho'il ve'eis rotzanhu, since we see it's a time of desire from Shemaim that we were able to kill the Yetzirah for Avodah Zorah, let's carry on and conquer our next enemy, our next foe. Niboy rachme ayitzra da'aveira. Let's go and conquer the Yetzahara for Gilui Arayas. Bo rachme ve'emsor biyadayu. Amar lo chazu ikat lehule lahu kalia alma. Chavshuhut. They were going to kill it. But they were told, don't kill it, because if you kill it, you may kill the whole world. So they captured, figuratively, I don't know what it means exactly, spiritually, they captured the Yetzahara for Gilui Arayas, for 3 days. They held it. They didn't kill it, but they captured it. Ubo biata bat yoma b'chol eretz Yisrael v'lo yishtakach. And they went to find an egg that was laid that day. And they couldn't find an egg anywhere in all of Eretz Yisrael that had been laid that day. Amru, hechi navid, what are we going to do now? Because on the one hand, we understand that if you totally destroy the Yetzer Hara for Gilui Arayos, it's not only a Yetzer Hara, it's a natural, healthy desire for the world to produce, for the world to continue, for an egg to be laid, for a man to get married. It's a healthy Yetzer, which when used appropriately is our very nature. And it's pure in its core. It's pure. You can't kill it. There won't be life if you kill it. We say, Kiheim Chayenu about Torah, Kiheim Chayenu about Gilui Arayos. Not when it's done inappropriately, but when it's done appropriately. Not Gilui Arayos, but Arayos when done in a pure way. So they ask, what should we do? Naktile, if we destroy the Yetzer Hara for Gilui Arayos, Kaliya Alma, they'll destroy the whole world. Niboy Rachme Apalga, so if we say, let's go half-half, Palga Berakia lo yahavi, they don't go half-half. Chalinu le'ene, so they blotted out its eyes. V'shavku, and they let it go. V'ahani, and the blotting out of its eyes helped partially. D'lo migribe le'inshe bekirivte, that it stopped people having a Yetzer Hara for their sister, for their mother. Meaning until that point, the desire that a male will have for a female applied also for one's sister, for one's mother, for one's daughter. Once Chazal, with their great power that they destroyed the Avodah Zarah with, they also used that power against Gilui Arayos. They were able to take away that passion that a man has for a woman, he won't have for his siblings, for his immediate relative. But the passion, they had to leave, because they recognized in its core it's good. It may cause a lot of damage and it may cause a lot of tircha, but in its core it's good. And this is an essential point. Before we get later on into all the tools, we have to recognize that at its core it's healthy, at its core it's good. It would be a disaster if a boy would come to Yeshiva and decide women and Yetzer Hara is the same thing. Right? And then they start going on a shidduch, and now he's battling with, but she's evil, but I have to marry her. What's going on? It would be a disaster. Because in the core essence of a man and a woman getting married is Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there was a male and there was a female image, and they were embraced and intertwined. At its core, it's the most pure, holy expression of our love for Hashem that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made a man and woman able to have contact and relate in intimacy. When it's inappropriate, you can understand why it's so terrible, because it represents our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It represents the inner bond, and therefore when it's done wrong, it's treachery. However, at its core, it's pure. So we're at a very challenging place right now, not married yet. Because everyone here is trying to identify themselves as an Eved Hashem. I'm an Eved Hashem, and I'm pure, and I have a pure heart. And then there's a place within oneself of negativity, of a Yetzer, which could pull a person to a place which is confronting him, where on the one hand he realizes how terrible this Isur is, on the other hand he realizes what a big Yetzer Hara he has for it. And then a person could make a mistake and say, well, I'm so overwhelmed by the Yetzer Hara, that means that in my essence I'm bad. In my essence, I must be bad. And if I think I do good by learning and davening, it's obviously not true. Because if I was such a tzaddik and I had such a pure heart, how could it be that I have such a strong Yetzer Hara? And that leads a person to feel bitter and to have yeyush and to give up hope. So our goal in this chabura, our goal is to recognize that at the essence it's pure. And it's no way a conflict to the tahara lev. In no way is it a conflict to a person who wishes to purify himself and be tahor and stand before Hashem as a righteous, honest, true Eved Hashem. The fact that one has a strong Yetzer in this area, even though currently its expression is taking him to an unhealthy place, that doesn't mean that he's unhealthy. Rather, it means that right now he hasn't yet learned the skills or tools of how to channel it in a healthy way. But it's extremely inappropriate for a person to feel helpless, to feel that they're worthless, and to give up hope on themselves. Rather, our goal in this chabura is for a person to return to their natural goodness, their natural, pure, clean instinct, which is the way of Torah, the Torah's way. And by learning how the Torah views this topic, we can return back to Hashem. And that's our goal. We're looking not to dampen the desire, but rather to awaken the desire in a way of Kodesh. To awaken the desire in a way of purity. By having a mindset and the tools of how to accomplish this based on Torah's own guidelines. One last quote I wanted to quote. You know, other averas, a person doesn't just sit in a room and have a desire to do an avera. Right? Let's say, for example, stealing. If I'm just sitting in a room by myself, it won't just generate a desire to steal. Because stealing is not part of my essence. It's not my core. It's not my nature. However, Arias, that could happen. With a rias, it could happen that a person is just sitting in a room not thinking about something, and suddenly a desire will come to him of a rias, which is funny, like, where did that come from? Why by stealing does it not naturally happen that arise? But with a rias, it does naturally happen, because you see that it's the core of what man is. Like we see from the Gemara and Yoma that we just quoted, it's the core of what man is, it's your essence. It's your essence which is designed to be good and to be channeled in a pure way. Until you're able to express it in a pure and holy way, it may take a bad turn. But that doesn't mean it's inappropriate. It's like electricity. Electricity is a koach, which was given to man to produce goodness. And what are you plugging in? If you're plugging in a machine which produces beautiful music, Beethoven and Mozart, and you're playing beautiful music, the electricity is producing goodness. So that's what it was designed for. However, if you plug in an electric chainsaw, you don't know how to hold it properly because you don't have the skills, then it could cause damage and wreak havoc. And therefore, the energy is pure and good. The energy, if you're left in a room and not doing anything in the room, then it will develop. It will say, I need to be expressed, because it's the nature of who we are. It has to be expressed. And all we need to do is to learn how to plug in Kedusha, how to plug in Tara, how to learn tools and skills to channel it in a healthy way. That's our goal here. But the energy at its core is good. The Gemara Makkah says, Gezel v'arayas, nafsho shel adam mitaveh lehem, u'mechamadatan. It's the nature of man. Dafka Gezel adds as well, interesting, right? V'gezel, I would dare to say, is only when a person is put to challenge. You see something that you want. That's when Gezel becomes the nature of man. Arayas is even if you're not put to a test. You're just sitting by yourself. And the last source, Bereishis Rabba, Perek Tet, Rav Nachman Bar Shmuel, Bar Nachman, says in the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Hine Tov Me'od, Ze Yetzer HaTov. Tov is the Yetzer HaTov, Tov Me'od is the Yetzer HaRa. When it says the word Tov in Bereishis, it's referring to the Yetzer Tov. And when it says Tov Me'od, very, very good, one way, very good, that's referring to the Yetzer HaRa. And the Medrash says, really? V'chi Yetzer HaRa Tov Me'od? Really? I know that the Yetzer Tov is Tov, but you're saying the Yetzer HaRa is Tov Me'od? Ela she'ilulei Yetzer HaRa lo bana adam bayit, lo nasa isha, lo holid, lo nasa v'natan. Yes, the Yetzer HaRa is passion. The Yetzer HaRa is electricity. The Yetzer HaRa is what enables a man to exist and live in the world. The Yetzer HaRa is the raw desire and energy. It's very good. So why is it called Ra? It's only called Ra if it's not channeled healthily, where it's taken out of the realm of where it's supposed to be channeled. So it doesn't mean that a person is supposed to dampen his desire. It means a person has to awaken his desire, but just know how to channel it in a healthy way. So that was the introduction. My goal was twofold. A, to open the topic and realize that it's healthy and appropriate and Torah's way to speak about it openly and publicly. And B, to recognize that its essence, its core, is good. And it's pure. And it's natural. It could go in an unhealthy way, and we have to learn the skills and the tools about how to ensure it doesn't go that way. And over the next few weeks on Sundays during Musa Seder, we're going to learn those mindsets and those skills, those tools to ensure that it remains in the world of Kedusha and doesn't go out of those limits. Yishar koach. If anyone is interested in seeing the sources, then it's on Svaria, titled V'Taher Libeinu, under my name.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
So every Sunday you have to like challenge it. No, not challenge. Channel it in a good way, right? But until you get married, is there really any way to channel it?
Come for the next